to really see what happens is that every business in this country grew and developed on the backs of workers more than any other industry, and it's continued to do that. They've been able to maintain what they call a surplus labor pool, more workers than jobs. That's been the history of agribusiness in the United States, to keep the wages low and the conditions miserable and keep the competition, keep the hours and conditions down. You have more workers than you have jobs. And they do that because agribusiness controls, is the most powerful lobby group in the country, and they control immigration legislation. If they say no, it's no in immigration. If they say yes, it's yes. They're the ones that do immigration. That's how they've done it. They had the Chinese here, then had the Japanese and the Hindus and the Filipinos and the Mexican. Then they went over, and when they started running out of people because there was reaction, recalling the turn of the century or before the turn of the century, the public was reacting against the Chinese importation because there were too many, and they, in fact there was a Nation Exclusion Act that was written into law because of that fear. So growers began to understand that they can't go overboard because then they get a reaction from the community. So what they've done is they try to balance that because they were getting a Nation Exclusion Act. They were trying to get the Japanese out. They were deporting Mexicans in large numbers to go back to Mexico. So finally they went over to the south and recruited, because of the conditions there, recruited thousands of white workers to come into agriculture, beginning in the early 30s and all through the 30s. And that changed the face of agriculture for a while. Then the Bracero came, when the government, both governments, Mexico and the United States, made agreements, unilateral agreements, workers not involved, to bring workers because of the war effort. They needed workers there, so they brought them in only for the war effort. Well, we never got rid of the program until 1964. The war ended, and they continued bringing in as many as 500,000. Depressed the wage, just kept the unions out. And what I'm saying is that this is what they do, and they're very good at it. There's been more strikes. In 1939, there were 258 strikes in California. Every strike was broken. Every union was destroyed. Every strike was broken, and nothing, workers did nothing out of it. And they've been trying. In 1935, when the law passed to protect industrial workers to have collective bargaining rights, the farm workers were excluded. And the argument was, because of the large, powerful lobby groups and the growers, the argument was that, well, unions in agriculture would not be viable anyway. And furthermore, these workers aren't real Americans. They're not citizens. They're immigrants. So we shouldn't worry too much about them. And so they've kept that. Give me an example today, right now, today, in agriculture. They have a gimmick where people come in and they're undocumented workers, or recent immigrants will come in asking for a job, and the labor contractor will tell them, well, you know, we know that you don't know how to do a job. We know you just arrived, and so we can't give a job unless you work for me for 2 weeks so that I can find out whether or not you can do the work. And then they work for 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, they're told, no, we're sorry, we can't hire you. About 15 to 18% of all the workers work that way never get paid. We have a case now in federal court of a woman, 26 years old, came and worked for 6 months, never got paid, changing employers every 2 weeks, trying to get rid of the women. Grapes are done, women pack the grapes and the men cut the grapes. And it's a very skilled job. Don't get yourself, very skilled jobs. Packing grapes is a very highly skilled job. And they're trying to get rid of the older women who've been there, who actually built the industry. Because there's so many workers, I want to get the younger workers and get rid of these. So they now come up with quotas. They have quotas for these women, and they can't, the quota can't be met. And so what happens is that they come in before work. They come in like an hour, half an hour before work without getting paid in work extra. They work, they don't take their breaks, and they don't take a lunch break. They eat with one taco in one hand and working. They work after hours without getting paid just to make the quota so that they won't get fired. They have a vicious system of enforcing the quota. Every day, they take a tally of the production, and the person who is the lowest of the production that day gets a ticket. It doesn't matter how long you've been there, 10 years, 15, 20 years, 30 years. If you're lucky enough to be on that, to be the bottom of the production quota, three times in a row you get fired. It's fear, a lot of fear. We went and did an investigation, found out there's no drinking water, no potable drinking water for workers, no restroom facilities. All this is in the law. We didn't find one single crew that would provide water and soap and towels for people to wash their hands after they go to do their to attend to a call of nature. None. Not one crew had soap and water to wash hands. As the workers come back and they handle the grapes, which is food. There's a law. None of that. Sexual harassment is unbelievable by the foremen, oftentimes who are themselves recent immigrants or were immigrants once upon a time. They have no wage increases since 1982 in the industry. Now, this is a tremendous fight for us here. We're fighting 850 growers, and the industry hires 50,000 workers. It's a huge fight. Tremendous potential here. This industry was organized by us before, until the growers went and brought in the Teamsters and destroyed the union, tried to give the workers to the union. I mean, an unprecedented action on the part of any employer in the history of the country. That's how they destroyed the union or trying to get back. Now, growers aren't just sitting around and waiting for us to do it. Well, they're also fighting very hard. Now they have a new tactic. Their tactic is one of disinformation. Disinformation and character assassination. They come up with some of the most vicious attacks on the leadership of the union and the union itself. In fact, we pick it up. From time to time, we hear how it's gotten to the public, and they feel that the best way to beat the boycott and beat the union is by having those attacks on the union. I've been around